This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله واحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار so alhamdulillah today will be the first lesson And we don't know whether it is the last, wallahu alam. I always say, Nottingham, I have no clue. But alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, we will continue with where we stop. And we will be dealing with the same manhaj that we used to do. We ask questions, and then we study, and then we ask again at the end of the day, bismillah ta'ala. But now, I don't know since when we stopped. If I ask for that, I will be disappointed or I won't be, but I will try, inshallah, and then Ahmad will read for us, bismillah ta'ala. And after the questions. who remembers the place where we stopped exactly? I think that should be the first and the last question. Okay, let me ask something easier than that. Before this topic, Kitab al-Imamah, Bab al-Imamah, I think we talk about As-Sa'atu Lati Nuhi An Salat Fiha. There are moments and times that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it prohibited upon a believer to pray. The sunnah prayers, of course. How many waqt do we have that the prayer is not permissible? Two. Allah bless. No. This is freedom of speech. He says two. We let him. Okay. What are they? Before Zuhr? No. You can't change your mind. Once you...
before Zuhr and before Maghrib.
Before Zuhr and before Maghrib, right? Wallahi, that's good. Okay, who agrees with him? You agree with him? You are afraid of him beating you when you go on? Or you accept his and then you're going to add more? Okay, what are the rest?
Before
sunrise. Okay. But that's only one, so three then.
Three.
Oh, you accept that there are three. Okay, who disagree with them? Disagree completely.
Disagree with the number, not the content.
I disagree. The content is okay. Okay. But disagree with the number. How many?
Five.
Oh, that's so nice. So two remain. We heard three. Now we need two more from you.
So one of those we mentioned after Asr, that one is two actually.
After Asr.
After Asr, until the sun becomes without light that hurts you.
Uh-huh.
It is yellowish orange.
Uh-huh.
And then after that time, until Maghrib is the second time. There is after sunrise until the sun.
So now you're adding three more, so they become They become six then, because they mentioned three, and you're bringing three more now.
No, actually one of them is divided into two, so that's four.
So just one, but you cut it into three pieces.
Then one that is after sunrise until the sun is like an arrow, spear.
Okay, that's good. When does the sun become like a spear?
15 minutes after the sun.
When I look at it, it will look like a spear. Okay, who disagree with them? Who disagree with them? I just want somebody who will say all of them are wrong. Nobody? And there is a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that says, "La tajtami ummati ala dalala." But I think in Nottingham, it changed it. Okay. What Shams, what is your name again? Saif. Saif. Sorry. What Saif mentioned is correct. And what they mentioned also could be corrected. But it's wrong. I'm sorry, Nasruddin. Yeah, it's wrong, it's wrong. Because when you say, say it again, precisely what you said.
After Khidr corrected me, or?
No. No, don't take the correction. Khidr did not correct you, but he added one. He said he added one.
I said it was before
Zuhur. Before Zuhur. No, don't change. Before Zuhur. Yeah, that's wrong, because before Zuhur, when does it begin before Zuhur? Because when you say before Zuhur, since after Fajr is still before Zuhur, and there are a lot of prayers could be prayed then. So Waqt al-Zawal, I didn't even Waqt al-Zawal when the sun moves, right?
Since the time the sun is in the middle of the sky?
Then Zahina Takun Shamsu fi Kabidi Sama. When you mention Zawal, Waqt al-Zawal, then this is the time you should pray actually.
Yes.
You're trying to say like this is the sky when the sun is here, in the middle, right? They don't call it Zawal. Zawal is when it moves. Then that one, when it is in the Kabidi Sama, they refer to it. So I was rejecting the before Zuhur, and also before Maghrib, you said, right? What would you say with the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sallu Qabla al-Maghrib, Sallu Qabla al-Maghrib, Sallu Qabla al-Maghrib?
Before sunset.
So that's your mistake actually. When you say before sunset, this is what Saif is trying to refer to. And likewise, Khidr mentioned also the same. What did you say? The addition that you gave after Asr. No, after Fajr. After Fajr. After Fajr until when? No specification. You have to mention it from after Fajr until. But Alhamdulillah, still there is somebody who remembers. Alhamdulillah. So we have five, right, in detail. When you want to mention them in brief, make them concise, then you come up with three periods whereby a Muslim is not allowed to pray in the room. The first one is after Fajr. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, after Fajr, there is no prayer except the two rak'at for Fajr. And after Fajr, it goes until the time when the sun is about to rise. Few minutes before sunrise. You get it? It doesn't come out yet. So that moment, you cannot pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sunnah prayers except the two rak'at for Fajr. And then he says, when the sun is in the process of rising, that's the most critical moment, because it is risen always between the two horns of shaitan, the Prophet Sallallahu mentioned. And the third time is what Saif mentioned, حين تكون الشمس في كبد السماء, when the sun is in the middle of the sky, because usually when it moves, it will keep on going in the morning, and until it reaches the middle of the sky, then it stops for like 5 to 10 minutes. This moment you are not allowed to pray in this moment, because the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِنَّهَا سَاعَةٌ تُسَجُّرُ فِيهَا نَارُ جَهَنَّمُ. He said, this is the moment where the hellfire, the heat is increased, the temperature is increased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a time for punishment, not a time for mercy. You get it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to cool down, relax first. It's all about 10 minutes. Then you can come and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yarhamukallah. Next one is after Asr, until the time when the sun is about to set. You get it? And the last one is when the sun is in the process of going, disappearing. And so these are the five times mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the consensus of the scholars also is established upon them. With the exception of the prayers which are the Watil Asbab. The Watil Asbab, these are the prayers that have a reason, that have a cause. Like when you come to the masjid, to Tahiyatul Masjid. But even this one, if you can remember, I told you last time that the best approach is you shouldn't pray in those three critical moments. You can pray right after Asr, you can pray right after Fajr, but when it comes to during the time the sun is in the process of setting, a person should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you can wait. And you don't need to be in the masjid at that moment. And even if you be in the masjid also, the best opinion, wallahu alam, is the opinion that says tahiyatul masjid is not wajib, but is highly recommended by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we know that? We know this from the hadith of those three brothers who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they found the majlis was already established in the masjid. The Prophet is sitting and the companions were surrounding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of them looked for a space and he sat. He filled the vacuum, the space. The other one, he couldn't find space between people, so he sat behind. The last one, he just got angry and left. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ala ukhbirukum anin nafar nafari thalath." He said, "Do you want me to tell you about the three people who came?" He said, "Amma ahaduhuma fa'awa ila Allah fa'awahu Allah." The first one, the one who looked for a space and filled it and sat in that place, he comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him more closer to Him. Allahu Akbar. Wa amma al-akhar, as for the second one, fastahya min Allah fastahya minhu Allah. He became shy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became shy of him. The one that sit behind. He couldn't find space. So he found it very difficult to ask people to make space for him. So he sat behind them. As for the other one, he didn't want. Khalas, they didn't keep space for him, he left. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "A'arada anillah." He turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left. Who needs you? Nobody needs you. You turn away from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also actually doesn't need you from the beginning. So you see, they came to the masjid and there was no mention that these people pray to hit the masjid. They just sat down, right? That's confirmed, because if they pray, definitely the Rawi is going to mention that. That's why when Khalad ibn Rafi came to the masjid and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the prayer, the Rawi mentioned that he prayed. He prayed first and went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was the correction. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam corrected him in the prayer, and this is where we learn the vast majority or the most important thing that we have to preserve in our prayers. So this is what the scholars usually say, something which is so important. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will never neglect it. They narrate something which is very insignificant compared to those important issues. So when they don't narrate it, that means they don't see that person praying. Otherwise, the Rawi, when he narrates, he will say, these three brothers, when they come to the masjid, they pray, and then they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they don't mention that. They say they just get into the masjid and straightforward to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as I always mention, I'm saying that this is sunnah or mustahab, it doesn't mean you should be negligent. I'm telling you, Allah, is a great loss for a believer. And actually, it's lack of usage of, thinking properly, the mind properly. Because if you understand the way the Prophet ﷺ emphasized on it, you will know that definitely this is an important issue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you come to the masjid, start with greeting the masjid first. Do you get an idea? This is what Islam wants from you. Whenever you approach masjid and you get inside, if the time is a time for the prayer, pray first. The Prophet ﷺ said, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, people, they will take masajid turaqat. They will make masjid tariq. You know, if let's say I want to go to that place, and I'm coming from here, what is the easiest way to reach the place? Get in from this door and go out here. If I use this door, the one who goes from that way and come back, I will reach and go and come back, he's still on the way. Right. So sometimes what do? I just use the masjid and pass, right? The Prophet ﷺ said this is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. The people, they will make masajid like roads. So how to make it correct? No problem. You want to go? Go. But when you come inside, pray two rakat and then move. What does that mean? He will never come then. Many people will never come. He will say, I'm in a hurry. No time to pray two rakat. He prefer to go. And then the prestige of the masjid will be preserved. You get it? So these are the masajid. That's why the Prophet ﷺ doesn't want the masjid to be fancy. According to the sunnah, the masjid should be plain, neat and clean, but no decoration at all in the masjid. But nowadays, somebody told me in UI in the class I was teaching, so there was a question, somebody says in Dubai or some other place, one of the Arab countries, they have the masjid, this is for siyaha, and they charge for that. So the question was, can we pray in that masjid? Masjid for the tourists. They come and see things inside. A'udhu billah. That's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ is talking about. Decorating the masajid, what tabahi bil masajid, competing each other. This masjid is nicer than this. This is exactly what we have nowadays. People, they go just to watch the way the masjid is designed. And they don't know this is wrong actually Islamically to make masjid like that. In this place, we heard Umar radiallahu anhu in one of our lessons about the science of the Day of Judgment. Umar radiallahu anhu was telling one of the companions who is assigned to renovate the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Wajannibhu al-ahmar wal-asfar." He said, "And stay away from al-ahmar." Fatih, we are visitors here, right? So we are not involved. You see that? He said, "Take away." He says, stay away from any red color and yellow color. Those are the beautiful colors, but nowadays we have gold color, we have this, we have all of this. You get it? Fix this, fix that. So alhamdulillah, may Allah put barakah in the masjid of Nottingham. We like the masjid, right? We don't want to go too much, otherwise from the gate, they will stop us from coming inside. Okay, may Allah reward you and love you. Okay, so will you continue, inshallah, Babu al-Imama? Yes, Ahmed. مالك أو قال مالك بن حويرس وقال لمالك بن حويرس
إذا حضر في الصلاة فليؤذن أحدكما وليؤمكما أكبركما وكانت قراءتهما متقاربة ولا تصح الصلاة خلف من صلاته فاسدة ولا تصح الصلاة خلف من صلاته فاسدة إلا لمن لم يعلم بحدث نفسه ولم يعلمه المأموم حتى سلم فإنه يعيد وحده ولا تصح خلف تارك ركع إلا إمام الحي إذا صلى جالسا لمرض يرجى برء فإنهم يصلون وراءه جلوسا إلا أن يبتدئها قائما ثم يعتل فيجلس فإنهم يصلون وراءه قياما ولا تصح إمامة المرأة بالرجال ومن به سلس البول والأمي الذي لا يحسن الفاتحة أو يخل بحرف منها إلا بمثلهم ويجوز إمام المتوضئ بالمتيمم والمضطرب بالمتيمم.
شكرا جزاك الله خيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال المؤلف رحمه الله باب الإمامة. So this is a chapter that will be discussing the issue of imama, leadership in the prayer. So last time we talked about this, so I will just quickly refresh our mind on the hadith, and then we will move forward, inshallah. The first thing that was quoted, imamah is one of the most important thing in the prayer. Sha'ira min sha'ir al-Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama ju'il al-imamu li'utamma bihi. So this is the person that we are supposed to follow in order to maintain organization and arrangement in the prayer, an appropriate system in the prayer. It's very interesting and excellent system that shows nizam and unity. That's why they said, before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opened the sitar, he was inside his house, and they saw his face, they said, it looks like the moon, Lailat al-Badr. The light was coming from the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the last time they saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he see them, the Rawi says he was so happy because he saw them fi saffin wahid, in one line. Straight line, the lines of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not like ours. Very straight, and he used to be very serious in that. He told them one day in hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, لَتُسَوُّنَّ صُفُفَكُمْ أَوْ لَيْخَالِفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ وُجُوهِكُمْ. He said, wallahi, you have to fix the rows and the sufuf of your prayers, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to place rancor and enmity in your hearts. I mean, change between your faces, what does that mean? You become not recognizing each other. That means the enmity and hatred is there in your mind. When they heard this, Anas ibn Malik said, I saw one of them after hearing this, his feet was connected to the other feet, I mean to the feet of his the brother, the one who is praying next to him, the ankle also. And even he says some of them, even the knees was connected to the knees of their brothers who are next to them. Allahu Akbar. Nowadays, how is it? You come, they run. You come, they run, right. And they tell you, no. They have some fatwa. Although there are some scholars, great scholars are scholars also who give fatwa like that. But when you look at the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, it shows that this is the beginning of the prayer. And what is the, some scholars said, no, it's just to maintain the proper arrangement of the lines at the beginning of the prayer. And I ask you by Allah, how many times you see the prayer, the lines are fixed, but then after one or two rakah, then everything is gone. Why? Because you tell them, khalas, the most important thing is to maintain the proper arrangement at the beginning. Who says this? Allahu A'lam. Because the sunnah shows that you have to pray like this. What does that mean? It should be continuous act of worship. That means you have to put it next to your brother's shoulder and his knees and his, even the knees, let's say leave the knees, but at least the feet should be connected to each other to close the gap so that shaitan cannot come and find a space to sit in that place. These are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi. That's why I said their rows, their lines, their sufuf is not like ours. They're very serious when it comes to the prayer, and they already understand what we did not understand. Because our problem is, sometimes we think this is our house. When you're in the masjid, you think this is your house, you do whatever you wish. Otherwise, if you don't have this perception, how is it possible that your brother is trying to teach you the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and you don't want to listen? Everyone is praying on his own, in the way he wishes. You get it? So prayer have to be done in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to do it exactly in the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. Or else it will be neglected, rejected. All your prayer will have no value at all. You know, some people, they will finish their prayer, but there is no reward at all. The only thing that is going to be written in the account is they pray. No value, no reward, no anything. That's a loss. Wallahi, that's a loss. So I don't think we do have excuse, because nowadays we have everything is detailed. Our scholars are still there. If you're even lazy to go and approach a sheikh and ask him about your prayer and fix it, just like the way those generation they do, they go and ask about everything. They don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ignorance. That's the attitude of the Christian. That's why you always tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, take me away from the practice of the Christian. Why you don't want to be like them? Because up to this moment, Christianity is based on ignorance. You get it? They introduce things in their religion and they know they are not part of their religion and they worship Allah SWT based on that. The Jews were not like that. They know the truth and they reject it. That's why you're asking Allah to protect you from both in your prayer. غَيْرِ الْمَقْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ مَنْ هُوَ الْمَقْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. These are the Jews. Why you don't want to be like the Jew? Because they have the knowledge and they rejected it. They say, Musa was telling them, he said, يَا قَوْمِ لِمَ تُؤْذُونَنِي وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ. He did not say وَقَدْ تَجَهَلُونَ. He says وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ وَقَدْ هُنَ لِلْتَحْقِيقِ. He says, why you always harm me after knowing that I am from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You definitely know that I am from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Christian, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَهْبَانِيَةً نِبْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. They're the one who invented Rahbaniya. Rahbaniya is to be isolated, to go to the forest, make a masjid for yourself or room that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't come and mix with others. Who told them to do that? Nobody. They invented it trying to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but unfortunately they couldn't preserve it, even according to their own conditions also. So I say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day, Allah, I don't want to be like the Jews. I don't want to be like the Christian. But then when I come, I pray, in the same prayer also I practice like them, because I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ignorance. Take a gun and go to in front of the masjid and ask people to tell you the reason why they are praying in the way they are praying. Or else, I mean, if an angel will come with Jannah and Paradise and question everyone who comes out of the masjid, explain to me, you're making ruku. Why? On what basis? The vast majority are going to where? A'udhu billah, I don't want to mention that. If the prayer, if the recitation of the imam, if you ask a person, what does imam read? He forgot. Even if he read the surah that we know. This is the nature of the Muslims. And you know, anything that is wajib upon you, that shows the importance of classes like this. Not really this class, but classes like this. Because whatsoever is wajib upon you, you must know how to do it precisely, with its own evidence. At least you have a clue, and you know where it came from. But sometimes, nowadays we have a lot of innovations, people that are doing things, they don't know the source. And if you're going to tell them that this is against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they might get, angry with what you say. So that's exactly, as I said, the attitude of who? A Christian. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ignorance and adopting ignorance, arrogance also. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-kibru batrul haqqi wa gamtun nas. So sometimes I will be told the truth, but I don't want to take it. That's what arrogance means, which is rejected by the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fix our affairs. So back to the imamah. So this is the leadership. It's a very, very important concept. The Prophet also used to be the leader and he used to appoint people. And this is one of the clues that was used by the companions of the Prophet to know that Abu Bakr is the best person to lead the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after him. Some of them said, when there was a controversy, who to be the leader after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of them said, Prophet chose him to lead us in our religion. Why can't we choose him to lead us in our dunya affairs? Then the case was closed. Because if he entrusted him in the religion, why can't we trust him in the dunya? Do you get the way the logical reasoning works with the companions? They used this imam because he was appointed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to lead the prayer. And he said, I don't want anyone to lead except him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success. قال المؤلف رحمه الله وروى أبو مسعود البدري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يا أم القوم أقرأهم لكتاب الله. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked in this hadith about the priorities in leadership in the prayer. Who should lead people? Is it based on the way we do it nowadays? He is the oldest? Or he is the leader of the community? Or he is this and that? Or he is somebody? No. The companions don't go with this way of thinking. They follow the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam precisely. And in that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya ummul qawma akrahum li kitabillah." The best person to lead the prayer is who? Al-qari'u li kitabillah. The one who reads Quran better than the others. The one who knows Quran better than the rest should be the imam. The one who memorizes more should be the imam. The one who has more tajweed should be the imam. This is what akrahum li kitabillah means.
So we have both of them, they memorize Quran. Then we go for tajweed. Both of them, they have excellent approach to the tajweed. Then we go for beauty of the recitation. But unfortunately, they read all of them with Khalil Husari or Minshawi, the same. We ask, do you have any other version? No, we don't know anything. Then what else in the Quran? We make Qura. We bring the people, which one you like. You get it? Not Qura for them, but we ask people. If the vast majority choose the recitation of this, then we get that person to lead. Why all of these things? Because this is a very, very excellent place. You know, we're going to have a meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is leading people to that meeting is you. I just want you to understand it like that. You see, it's like you're standing before Allah and you're the first person next to Allah. Everyone is behind him. Do you get how it works? And that's why it's a very, very important mawqif. Otherwise, we can just choose randomly. No, it's a special position. That's why we have to take from the best to lead the ummah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear? So he said, we go for the Quran first because Quran is the word of Allah and there is nothing like the Quran. So we take from the best among the Quranic reciters. If they are equal in terms of recitation of the Quran, then we go for the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. قَالَ فَأَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالسُنَّةِ. And we have all of them, they're equal in the recitation. Tajweed is the same. Memorization is the same. Good recitation is the same. And you get it. And they none of them is willing to give up. Then we ask about the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The one who knows sunnah more, we give him that. Some scholars said, "Alamuhum bi sunnah." Huna means afkahuhum fi dinillah. What does that mean? We ask him, please, if you make a mistake in your prayer, how do you fix it? Say, "Wallahi, I did not reach that yet." I asked the other one, if you make a mistake in your prayer, how do you fix it? He gives me the detail. Who is supposed to be the imam then? The second one. You get it? Because this is also the content of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He talked about the fiqh of the salah. You get it? Not only knowing the sunnah. Okay, he memorized all of the sunnah that talks about zakah and hajj and sawm and shahadatu Allah ilaha illallah and jihad and diyur and hiba. But the sunnah about the prayer, he doesn't know anyone. You get it? So when he says, عَلَمُهُمْ بِسُنَّةِ fiqh also is included here. مَنْ يَرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يَفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for you, He will give you a clear understanding of the deen. You'll be among the people who understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ فَإِنْ كَانُوا فِي الْقِرَاءَةِ سَوَا فَعَالَمُهُمْ بِالسُّنَّةِ. If they're equal in terms of recitation, then you go and take from the one who knows sunnah better. فَإِنْ كَانُوا فِي السُّنَّةِ سَوَا فَأَقَدَمُهُمْ هِجْرَةً. If they're equal in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in their knowledge of the sunnah, then you take the one who migrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. This one is applicable during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because they do have the hijrah. Today also it could be applicable for those people who migrated from the land of the kuffar to the Muslim land. The first one to come, we favor him over the one who was late. قَالَ فَإِنْ كَانُوا فِي الْهِجْرَةِ سَوَا فَلْيَأُمُّهُمْ أَكْبَرُهُمْ سِنَّا. If they are equal in terms of hijrah, they came all together, then we take the elders. You see, the age comes when? Last, when we don't have anything else, right? And nowadays, the age is coming when? The first. Right? We take all of the children behind, right? And when the imam make a mistake, nobody to fix it. Those children behind, you will see them fixing the imam. And all of these people, they are still listening and arrogant. And tomorrow, if the boy who is fixing the imam comes, they will take him back also. And that's injustice. Because if the boy come to the masjid early and he get the first line, you don't have a right to take him away from it, except if he plays. That was his position. To take him out of that place is injustice. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لِيَلِيَنِي مِنْكُمْ أُولِي الْحِلْمِ وَالنُّهَى. Let the people who will be behind me be what? Those people who are having aql. I mean, the elders, the smart people, the good ones, the most knowledgeable people, the noble people in the society, let them be behind me. But he did not say, لا يليني منكم إلا أولو
الحلم والنهى. He did not say nobody should come behind me except those kind of people. He said, let them come behind me. What does that mean? They should come early to the masjid. Yeah, that's what is mentioned by Ibn Uthaymeen. The hadith did not say children shouldn't be there. But of course, right behind the imam, because this prayer, it has a prestige. If you have a young boys and the big people, they were there, and switch. Ask the young one to go to the side of the row. Don't take them away completely. Ask them to go to the side of the row and bring the elders to come and enjoy staying behind you. But they say this is an encouragement by the Prophet ﷺ for the leaders to come to the masjid earlier. It is injustice for the child to come against the child when he comes to the masjid earlier than the elders, and they come and take him out of the masajid. So if they are equal in recitation, equal in sunnah, equal in hijrah, equal in whatsoever the Prophet ﷺ requested equality to be there, then we go for the age. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يؤمن الرجل الرجل في بيته ولا في سلطانه ولا يجلس على تكريمته إلا بإذنه. He says, nobody is allowed to lead another person in his own territory without his permission. Okay, somebody visits you in your house, and he is the mufti. Does he have the right to lead you in the prayer? No. This is your house. In the masjid, yes, you follow. But in your territory, you are the imam. Of course, if you know the ahkam of the prayer, you are the imam. إلا بإذنك, unless if you give him permission to lead. Do you get it? These are virtues and adab of Sharia. Nobody should come to the house of another person and then leave him in his own territory without permission. He said, إلا بإذنك. You don't get into his house, you get it? You don't lead him in the prayer in his own place of authority without his permission. And likewise, you don't get into his house, sit on his bed, or just get into the house without his permission. These are Islamic ethics and values. So this hadith we already studied. I just want to refresh your mind of the content of the hadith. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Malik ibn al-Huwayrith wa sahibi. This is a companion of the Prophet, one of the young companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for around 2 weeks. And then the Prophet ﷺ, ذلك المربي, the best person who gives tarbiyah and who teaches people is Muhammad ﷺ. You know, this Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, when he was in the masjid praying next to one of the Muslims, and that Muslim sneezed in his prayer. And he said, Alhamdulillah, after he sneezed. In what? In the prayer. So Muawiyah was there, he said what? Yarhamukallah. In what? In the prayer. فَأَخَذَ أَصْحَابُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَضْرِبُونَ عَلَىٰ أَفْخَاذِهِمْ. The companions, they started hitting their thighs, trying to show him, you're wrong, how can you talk in the prayer? So he got annoyed and told them, what's wrong with you? After he finished the prayer, he thought, since this is the reaction by the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, so the leader, if he reacts, is going to be so harsh. If the companion couldn't tolerate, what would be with the leader? You get it? So he was scared of what will happen with him. He doesn't know that he's dealing with who? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him. Sit down. He came. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him what to do. You know what he says? He says, Wallahi, ma ra'aytu mu'alliman qattu qablahu wala ba'dahu mithlahu. He says, Wallahi, I never saw a teacher in my life, before the Prophet or after the Prophet, somebody who teaches like the Prophet. I never saw a teacher better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's Murabbi. You do mistake when it comes to fixing, because the mistake already happened. Our method is what? We blame first, put him into trouble, increase the heat and the pressure. In such a way, even if you tell him you can repent, he will not believe. Seriously, because we already make it so huge to him. Ya akhi, when a person comes and he already repented, he'll be greater, he wants to repent. What does that mean? Opens the doors for him. Let him come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peacefully. You say those harsh words, you get it? To who?
to the person who is not ready to repentance, then you give him all of the qari'at. But a person comes to you with the face of nadam, and then you start talking. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not like that. He said, Ya Rasulullah, and this man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya juru rida'ahu. He took the issue so big because his people told him, definitely you are in trouble, and you have to report yourself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to receive your punishment. What was his case? He has sexual relationship with his wife. When? In the day of Ramadan. This is from the Al-Badiyah. So he asked his people, is there any solution? They told him, no solution. And you have to report yourself to the Prophet ﷺ immediately. You're going to be in trouble. This big thing. So that's why he packed his things. He was rushing to the Prophet ﷺ. They said, يَجُرُ رَجَاءَهُ. And he did not even have a time to clean himself. They said, ثَائِرَ رَأَسْتَ. His hairs scattered every place. And he couldn't even manage to pick up his garment. He was dragging it. He came to the Prophet ﷺ. Upon reaching the Prophet ﷺ, no, nothing except, Ya Rasulullah, halaktu ahlakt, halaktu ahlakt, halaktu ahlakt. He kept on repeating, Ya Rasulullah, I destroyed myself, I put myself into trouble, and I put somebody also into trouble, because they already told him, you are in a big trouble. Yeah. So he told the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I am in a big trouble, and I put somebody also in a big trouble. He kept on repeating. The Prophet looked at him, relax, relax, ya akhi. He said, what happened? He said, I did this and that in the day of Ramadan. Wallahi, what makes it so interesting and so beautiful? You know, the Prophet ﷺ did not ask him why. Come on, ittaqillah. Why? This is Ramadan. Only once in a year. Come on, come on. Wallahi, you guys, you're so bad. He did not tell him this. You know what he says? He says, is it possible for you to free a slave? He said, no, else. So, Dr. Maizara says, if somebody was told like this, you would tell him, come on, look at how big is your sin. This is actually little. And you want us to give you some discount? No, cannot. Go do that. You know, there are some scholars who says, if a rich person is supposed to free a slave, and this is what Allah SWT asked him to do, only if he cannot afford freeing the slave, then he moves to fasting. They said, no, we ask him to fast. We don't tell him about freeing the slave because he has the money to free the slave. We punish him. And Islam is not like that. Whether he's rich, he's poor, we go with what Allah SWT, because freeing a slave also is a virtue that Allah SWT is looking for. It's better than you fasting, because when you free a slave, then they will have the aql also to fast in the way you are fasting, to pray in the way you are praying, to be productive in the community in the way you are. You get it? So this man told the Prophet ﷺ, I can't. The Prophet ﷺ said, is it possible for you to fast for 60 days? He said, Ya Rasulullah, 30 days I couldn't. And now you're asking me for 60 days? Prophet is laughing. He said, 30 days I couldn't, Ya Rasulullah. And you tell me to fast 60 days? Cannot yet. Some of them, wallahi, that's why I say sometimes just reading about the hadith, you know the hadith of Khawla? When the Prophet ﷺ told the husband to fast for 60 days, the wife said, Ya Rasulullah, this guy has to eat 3 times in a day. If he doesn't eat 3 times in a day, he will lose his sight. The wife knows that this is death upon this man if he is to fast for 60 days. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I cannot do that. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, that's the last option. Can you feed a miskin, 60 masakin, needy people, you feed them? He said, no, Rasulullah. So the Prophet ﷺ kept crying, I already give my case. Prophet has no solution, so I finished my job. So he sat down with the Prophet ﷺ, I'm done. Now it is the business of the Prophet ﷺ to find a way out. So he was sitting there, and then somebody brought a date, tamam. The Prophet ﷺ said, where is the man who was in trouble? He said, Ha'ana ya Rasulullah. He said, okay, alhamdulillah. Luckily you got something. Take this and go and feed the masakin. He said, Ya Rasulullah, ala afqara minni? You're trying to tell me I go and give it to somebody who is more poorer than me?
Remember, this is somebody who says he is in big trouble, and now the solution comes, and he's telling the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, you're trying to convince me that this date, now it comes to my hand, and I go give it to somebody else. He says, Wallahi Ya Rasulullah, ma bayna labbatayha, ahlu baytin afqaru minna. He says, Wallahi, there is no house in Medina which is poorer than my house. What is he trying to say? The tamur is supposed to go to where? To my house. And they said, the Prophet laughed. He smiled until they see his teeth. And then the molars, actually. That's when he smiled a lot. And then he told him, okay, just take it and feed your family with it. Allahu Akbar. That's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why I'm telling you, when he died, Wallahi, they said, Ankarna uqulana. They said, we lost our aql when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dead. Because I'm telling you, those companions, Wallahi, they never saw somebody like him. They never expect actually to see somebody like him. And they never saw, even after his death. And we will never see somebody like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went to his people, he told them, you guys, I came to you and you scare me. You told me I'm in trouble. But you see, I went to Muhammad. Not only he relieved my concern, but he gave me food also, me and the family members. What is he trying to tell them? Take your advice, I don't need it. So Muawiyah, when he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Wallahi, I never saw somebody who is better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of teaching. He said, he did not beat me, he did not slap me, he did not curse me, he did not abuse me. The only thing he told me, he said, Muawiyah, this prayer, there is nothing appropriate for it except the remembrance of Allah, recitation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the takbir. That was the only thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him. So this Malik ibn al-Huwairis, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was just trying to tell you that Prophet is the best murabbi. He tried to understand the nature of the person who is with him. So they were with him, and from their faces the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understand that they want to go back and see their family, because they're young shabab, you get young brothers, but they are with him for like 2 weeks, and they have wives, they have family, you get it? So they want to go back, but they cannot say it to the Prophet ﷺ. But he understood that from their faces. He said, it looks like you want to go and visit your family. They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet ﷺ gave them this hadith. He said, go back to your family members and teach them what you learned from me. فَإِذَا حَضَرَتُ الصَّلَاةُ, this is the hadith. He said, إِذَا حَضَرَتُ الصَّلَاةُ فَلْيُؤَذِّنْ أَحَدُكُمَا. He said, when the prayer comes, one of you should lead the prayer. There were two, right? He said, one of you should lead the prayer. وَلِيَأُمَّكُمَا أَكْبَرُكُمَا. And the one who is bigger, or is, because now they just came to the Prophet ﷺ, so I learned, so most likely the knowledge is equal. They learned the same recitation, the same surah, the same thing. So the Prophet ﷺ said, and the same sunnah also, because they're all together. Whenever they go to the Prophet ﷺ, they were together. So most likely they pick up from the Prophet ﷺ. The same thing. So the Prophet ﷺ told them, when the prayer comes, make one of you should make the adhan, and then the eldest one should lead the prayer. And in that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has told them, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي وَصَلُّوا. And wallahi, these are the companions radiallahu anhum wa radwan. When Malik ibn al-Huwairis went back to his people, he kept on going to the masajid one after another. The Prophet ﷺ said, teach them what you learn from me. Right. So he went back to the people. He kept on going to the masajid one after another. Every masjid he would tell them, I am a rasul from the Prophet ﷺ to teach you what I learned from him. Therefore, I should be the imam. He would lead them in the prayer, and he would pray precisely in the way he saw the Prophet ﷺ praying. That's why it is the only hadith that you find the Jilsat al-Israh being mentioned apparently. That's the hadith of Malik ibn al-Huwairis. Because they came at the last part of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aged, he used to not to sit for Jilsat al-Israh, but then at the last part of his life, he used to sit also even in the night prayer. According to what is mentioned by Aisha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to stand and pray, but then when he aged, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the standing became a little bit difficult for him, so he used to sit down and read the Quran until like he has only 40 verses left, and then he would stand up and complete them and make ruku and make sujood for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the vast majority of the scholars mentioned that this is to the salah is sunnah and mustahab for somebody to do it. And some scholars, they said it is only sunnah for somebody who is in a state of need. But wallahu alam, whether you do or you don't do, I mean, doing is sunnah, inshallah, since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does it. And if you also leave it, following the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars, that the only one who does it is somebody who is in a state of need. An old man, somebody who is sick, you get it, he's sick, he's sick for just his salah. But inshallah, as one of the scholars mentioned, al-awl fi hisab. If you do, you get reward. If you don't do, that reward is gone. But you get the reward of following the Prophet ﷺ in the manner you think this is the way the Prophet ﷺ prayed. You will not have deficiency in your prayer bi-idhnillahi ta'ala because of that. So, وَقَالَ لِمَالِكِ بِنِ الْحُوَيْرِثِ, the Prophet ﷺ told Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, he said, لَحَضَرَتُ السَّلَاةِ فَلْيُؤَذِّنْ أَحَدُكُمَا وَلْيَأُمَّكُمْ أَكْبَرُكُمَا وَكَانَتْ قِرَاءَتُهُمَا مُتَقَارِبًا. That's why the Rawi says the recitation of both of them is closed to each other. I mean, they, as I said, they were there next to the Prophet ﷺ at the same moment of time. قَالَ وَلَا تَصُحُّ الصَّلَاةُ خَلْفَ مَنْ صَلَاتُهُ فَاسِدًا. Okay. He said, praying behind whose prayer is invalid is wrong. Yours also is invalid. If a person's prayer is invalid, if you pray behind him and you know that his prayer is invalid, yours also is gone. Do you get it? That's the main principle. That's why they say, كُلُّ مَنْ صَحَّتْ صَلَاتُهُ لِنَفْسِهِ صَحَّتْ صَلَاتُهُ لِغَيْرِهِ. Whoever's prayer is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he, if he prays like that, because there are people, if they pray in the way they're praying, it's okay. But if you pray in the way they pray, yours is rejected. Because you don't have the excuse they have. A sick person prays how? Seated. Or he lied out. But if you pray like that, your prayer will be rejected. If I pray behind somebody who is like that, my prayer is accepted. You have people who are carrying najasa with them. Those people who have in salas al-bowl with the bags and all of these things, they have najasa with them and they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that was the extent of their ability. You get it? And their prayer is accepted. If I pray behind them, my prayer also is accepted. So he says, if the prayer of a person is unacceptable by the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I pray behind him knowing that his prayer is not accepted by Allah, my prayer also is batil. You get it? And this is one of the refutation against the opinion that says Imam and the Ma'mum are like that. They are connected to each other. And there is another opinion that says they were like this. This one goes here, there is no connection between them. The Hanafis, they said the Imam and the Ma'mum are like this. Whatsoever happens to the Imam, it happens to you. You get it? And the Shafi'iyah, they said no. You are totally separated. That's why somebody told the Shafi'i scholars who believe in that. But according to the madhab, a woman cannot be imam. If I say the prayer is separated, there is no connection between imam and the mamum, then woman can lead man also. Because you are not connected to each other, right? Do you get the point? Okay, if I say between you and your imam, you are not connected. You are separated. Everyone is praying like separately. It's just like a symbolic kind of thing. If I say this, this necessitates my prayer to be valid when I pray behind a woman who is an imam. The Shafi'i scholars, do they validate the prayer for a woman, for a person who is praying behind a woman who is the imam? No. Nobody says that. All of the madhahib says no, to my knowledge. Why? Because it was no during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because it cannot. Why cannot? Why can she lead? How many people you have in Nottingham praying in the masjid? How many rows you have? Two. Usually when I come, two lines. Ask one of the... No, I'm not asking you to ask, right? If you are to ask one of the sisters to lead the prayer and another sister make the adhan, don't be surprised, even some of the non-Muslims also will be in the masjid. No, I'm telling you, seriously. They will come. And who will pray also? How is the prayer going to be? Which prayer is going to be? I'm telling you, who is going to pray? Those brothers, all of the only one who prays, it will be the Imam alone. The brothers, they will get lost. True. That's natural. That's why Sharia put and blocked the means. Not because she is lower in the position, no, but because there are other objectives that have to be preserved in the prayer. That's why she leads her own people. She pray also with the Imam who is a male, you get it? And they pray where? Behind. And the Prophet ﷺ, what he usually do, he asked the believers also to wait first for a few minutes until the time he knows that the sisters, they already left the masjid, then the brothers can move. They mentioned one of the, he was a companion, Wallahu alam yani, whoever he was. But he prays like that. You get it? And he looked from the down, and there were sisters behind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about that in the Quran. You have to be very careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya alamu khainatil ayinu ma tukhfi sudur. These are companions, right? But they're humankind. If this can happen with the companions of the Prophet, what do you think of us? You get an idea? So I just want you to understand how evil was the prayer of that sister in the US. You remember that? She was the Imam Khatib also. Not only the Jama'ah prayer, Khatib in the Khutbah. So high and shouting, singing. And the Mu'adhin also was a woman. I mean, what kind of thing you produce for us, Saif? Because he was from Egypt, right? We will never forget that. She makes adhan. Look how they make fun of adhan. She was making adhan without even scarf. She said her grandfather also was a muadhin. So somebody says maybe he was also a sister making adhan. And they don't see any problem with free mixing in the masjid. Wallahi, I thought it was a joke, but I see them in the lines. Here is a male, here is a sister, here is a male, here is a sister. One of the scholars said, come and see them when the Imam... Now when Imam says, Sawu sufufakum, you put your foot shoulder to shoulder, people, they try to run away, right? Those people, they are shoulder to shoulder. They have shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot and everything. Why? Because the one next to him, that's the first. Legally, he comes to violate the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, that's a legal violation of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to what she told them. That is okay. But somebody says, because they were rejected in any place except in the church. One of the brothers made it beautifully. He says, I don't understand why Muslims are so concerned of the issue. Where does she pray? She prays in the church. So just leave it like that. Mantashabah, be coming for Allah mustanin. Allah guide her. Okay, if you pray, لا تصح الصلاة خلف من صلاته فاسدة. If the prayer of a person is fasid, it means it's invalid. If you pray behind him, yours also is invalid. And then he says, إلا من لم يعلم بحدث نفسه. Except in the case of a person who doesn't know that he is a muhdith. Muhdith means he passed when أكرمكم الله, but he did not make wudu. He thought he's in a state of wudu. He uses the toilet, but he did not make wudu. He has relationship with his spouse, but he forgot to make the ghusl. You got it? So this one, he forgot. If you pray behind him, your prayer is okay. So remember here, we're not talking about his prayer. We're talking about your prayer. He doesn't know, and you don't know. After the prayer ended, then you came to realize through him that he is not in a state of tahara. قال المؤلف, your prayer is okay, and that's true. Because they mentioned that there was a time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said Allahu Akbar, and then he told them, wait. Makanakum, stay where you are. They stayed where they are, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went and he performed ghusl. He came, they can see the water falling from his beard and his shower. And so they understood that he went and took shower for janaba, and he come and joined them in the prayer and continue with the prayer. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was in a state of janaba and he prayed with the people, and then he remembered, so he did not ask anyone to repeat the prayer, but he repeated his prayer. That's why they say if you are in a state of hadith, but you don't know that you are in a state of hadith, you realize that after you finish the prayer, your prayer is batil, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La salata liman ahadith hatta yatawadda. Whoever has a hadith, his prayer will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he makes wudu. That means if he prays, he has to repeat that prayer. But the ma'moon praying behind him, do they have to repeat? No. That's why Umar did not command them to repeat their prayer. And that's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get it? So this one, if you don't know, then it's okay. And you're not allowed to ask the imam. Whenever he prays, you're going to ask him, are you sure that your prayer is okay? وَلَمْ يَعْلَمْهُ الْمَأْمُومُ حَتَّى سَلَّمَا فَإِنَّهُ يُعِيدُ وَحْدَهُ. That's what I said. So the ma'moom doesn't know about that issue until the end of the prayer. So who will repeat the prayer? The ma'moom, the imam alone. Not the ma'moom. The ma'moom will not repeat the prayer. Do you get it? But if the person, the one who is praying in hadith, let's say it is not hadith but khabath, najasa with him, but he doesn't know that there is najasa in him. He carries his child and the child peed on his clothes. That's najasa, right? Okay. He prayed. He remembered that this clothes that he is praying in has najasa. What must he do? He remembered when. If it is in the prayer, that's the problem. So he has two options. If he can take off the clothes, and that which remains on him is sufficiently enough to cover the aura, you get it? For example, he has the vest that is long sleeve. You get it? So what does he do? Just take off the jubbah. But the ma'moom, when he started taking off the clothes, what do you think they would do? I'm telling you, they would think he became Majnoon. So I'm just talking about the legal ruling, right? That's a legal ruling. That's what he must do. He has to take it off. Or the second option, if he's praying with the people, to appoint somebody to lead the prayer and go and take off the clothes and come back as a ma'moom. Wear another one that can cover him properly and then come back and join the prayer as the ma'moom. This is very good for the sisters. Very good for the sisters. Because sometimes the child is crying. So she let the child cry and she will never focus in the prayer. Never, I'm telling you. That's what was realized by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said he reads from 60 to 100 verses in Fajr prayer. That was the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get it? Now you read 10 verses also, it was an issue in the masjid. But in time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he read up to 100 verses in the prayer, in Fajr prayer. So that's why one day when he recited, Inna a'atayna kal-kawthar, Fajr prayer. You get it? Don't say this to those express a'immah, then they will have evidence. Fajr, they read those short surahs. If they have this, they will tell you, even the Prophet read, Inna a'atayna kal-kawthar. One day he read, Inna a'atayna kal-kawthar. They ask him, Ya Rasulullah, you did something that you usually don't do. He said, no, I started the prayer, then I heard the shout of a baby. So I know the mother cannot focus. He said, فَفَرَّقْتُهَا لَهُ. وَكَمَا قَالْ نَبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, I make it so short to make her free for the child. Allahu Akbar. هَذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. These are the values that we have to teach our imam. You get it? This is who he was, but he understands circumstance. You want her, although he recommend, you see, if it is in our time, he will say, actually she is not even allowed to come to the masjid. I mean, she's not recommended to come to the masjid. Why does she come? And then he will stand up, imam giving khutbah in the masjid, which says, sisters, you have to be very careful. We have some brothers, I'm telling you, they say to the sisters, they will stop them from coming to the masjid. Auzubillah. Why? Because they bring children. Either you control your children, or we will stop you from coming to the masajid. The masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, children came to the masjid and pray in the masjid. Not only that, Hassan and Hussein, they will come and ride on top of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came once and he was in the sujood. That was, I think, the longest sujood the companions saw. He was there in the sujood and they came, they rode on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he remained like that. So the companions, they were trying to know what is going on. Is he receiving wahi? Did he die? This what? And whoever managed to come, he would see those guys, they were still enjoying their life. And why did he wait and take long in the sujood? He does not want to disturb the children. Allahu Akbar. What is that? Prayer. Of who? The Prophet. Definitely his prayer is better than yours. But the kid comes and they play with him, and the Prophet ﷺ did not say anything. It works like that. But now somebody made a hadith for you. He says the Prophet ﷺ said, "Jannibu masajid sibyanakum wa janinakum masajidakum." MashaAllah. Saja. So the Prophet ﷺ said, take away from your masajid your children and your people of insanity. Majnoon and the children, they cannot come to the masjid. Who says that? They claim that this is said by the Prophet ﷺ, but this is a fabricated hadith made by somebody. Children, they do have a right. You see, this woman, she came to the masjid, although the Prophet ﷺ told the sisters, if you pray at home, you get more reward than praying in the masjid. That's what is mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ. But still, if she's in the masjid, she do have a right like anybody else. That's why when the Prophet ﷺ heard the child screaming, he said, let me shorten the prayer for her so that she can maintain the focus. He did not say, no, this woman, she's not actually, this prayer is for the male. No. If she's in the masjid, then the hukum also, yashmaluha, she will also be included in any benefit and the blessing that affects the brothers bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Do you get it? So that's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's the reason why I say it's good for the sisters. Instead of letting the baby crying, you carry the baby. Many sisters, they don't know this. I mean, sometimes when you mention this, they will be surprised. You mean you can carry the baby? Yes. The Prophet was praying and he was carrying who? Umama bint Zainab. This is his granddaughter. He was carrying her. Whenever he goes to the sujood, he'll put her down and then go for the sujood and the ruku. And then when he stand up, pick up and pray like that. What's wrong with that? It is better than letting the girl crying, shouting, screaming, and then he cannot focus in his prayer. Do you get it? So when she carries the baby and the baby peed, and it comes to her, sometimes you are in the last minute. It's very annoying. The last rak'ah, you get it, you're almost going to finish. And sometimes she has the, you know, some sisters when they do, they cook at home, when they pray at home, they push the thing. They already know that, inshallah, within 5 to 6 minutes, the thing is ready. By then also, I finish my prayer, right? And then the baby peed in the last minute. That means another 10 minutes. If you tell her, okay, cancel the prayer and come back again, it'll be so difficult. So what must she do? She just take off whatsoever was on her. If the remaining clothes can cover the aura and this covering will be accepted Islamically to be something that she prays in it, then she just continue with her prayer. How do we know that? We know this from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He prays with the companions and he takes off his shoes. The companions, they took off theirs. And then after he finished, he told them, why did you take off your shoes? They said, Ya Rasulullah, because we saw you taking off your shoes. He said, no, because me, Jibreel, came to me and told me that there is najasa in my shoes. That's why I took them off. So the Prophet ﷺ, you see, he did not repeat the prayer from the beginning. The first part of the prayer of the Prophet ﷺ was prayed in what? In the najasa. The najasa was there. But then he did not, all that he did was to remove the najasa. That's why they said, if you finish your prayer and there is najasa on you, you remember that there is this najasa on you. After you finish the prayer, your prayer is accepted. This is the difference between hadith and khabath. If you have khabath, this is the physical najasa that you can see. If you have it on you and you don't remember the existence of this najasa on you, until you finish the prayer, your prayer is okay. And the prayer of the people who pray behind you also is okay. But if you remember hadith, that means you don't have wudu. You use the toilet without having the wudu. This one, your prayer cannot be okay. You have to repeat that prayer. But whoever prays behind you, if he doesn't know, his prayer is okay. Is that clear? So I think, inshallah, I stop here, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish, we will come back, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, next week or the other week, right? After every 2 weeks, right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish, we will come back, inshallah, we will come, inshallah. If we come back, then we will continue, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. So question and answers if you have, inshallah.
This question says, if I have a long travel and I'm returning home the same day,
Can I combine the two prayers together?
As long as it is called safar, a travel, it's okay. You have a right to do so, even if you're coming back after 1 hour.
The question says, how much time is needed to wait for the imamah after the adhan? This is the first point.
How much time? It depends. Usually iqamah is based on, unfortunately nowadays we don't practice this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Iqamah is based on the arrival of the imam. And that's why imam has a right when he comes to the masjid and tell people wait first. And they have to wait. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come to the masjid, if he sees people in the masjid, khalas, he prays. If there is no one in the masjid, he will tell them wait until people come. Because what is the point of having masajid? Is to have the your kind of gathering of the Muslims to pray. That's why you have to be honest as the imam and pray. The first rakah should be a little bit long so that people can catch up the prayer. Likewise, the last rakah also, because this is the last moment for the people to catch up, make it a little bit longer. The Prophet saw someone, he perceived that somebody is approaching the masjid, they say he will never stand up from the ruku until he realized that that person gets into the masjid and makes ruku with him. Nowadays, when they see that, when they hear the sounds of the shoes, the imam would just stand up. I heard one of the imam, wallahi, he said in front of me, he was saying that if I know somebody is coming and I hear the sounds of the shoes, I will quickly stand up. And it's keen, he doesn't know that he's going against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that regard. Okay.
The next question says, how does the imam appoint a substitute imam if he has to break his prayer?
Simple. That's why you have to get the smart people behind you. If you have some juha behind you, then it will be a joke. You get it? They have this, Ibn al-Jawzi, he has a book, he called it Akhbar al-Hamqa al-Mughaffaleen. The stories of stupid and heedless people. And he quotes their stories with isnad. So he will have a title like this, Al-Mughaffaleen min al-A'imma. The heedless people and the idiots from among the imams. So one of them, he recited, Alif Lam Mim, Ghulibat al-Turk. So people, they corrected him. After he finished the prayer, they told him, no, Allah did not say Ghulibat al-Turk. He said Ghulibat al-Rum. He said, who cares? They're all kuffar. And you have another title, Mughaffaleen min al-Mu'adhdhin. He makes adhan, and he came down from the minaret. You know, they don't have mic like us. So no loudspeakers, no anything. So after the adhan, he was running. So people, they were scared. What happened? They went, they got him back. They told him, brother, what happened? He said, no, I was trying to see to what extent my adhan reached. He was trying to chase his voice. Where is it going? You get it? So they mentioned one of the imam, his wudu was broken. You get it? So he turned to tell the one behind him to lead the prayer. The guy says, wallahi, I wasn't the one who... He thought he did something wrong. Do you get the idea? Okay, I'm the imam now. I turned to ask Muhammad to lead. Muhammad ran away. He told me, wallahi, I wasn't the one. He thought there was something wrong. The imam is looking for the criminal. Do you get the idea? So that's why Ulul Hilmi wa Nuha should be in the, what do you call, in the first line. People who know how to fix the prayers. You get it? So when they see the imam going, because when your wudu is broken, there is no compromise. You can't say like what some people are saying, no, it's so shameful. People will know what I did. Come on, so why did you do that? You get it? You have to go out. Some people said, no, we just destroyed the prayers, but I will just make ruku, not in the sense of prayer. It's just like I'm doing exercise. Afterward, then I go and pray. No, Islam says you have to go out. If you think you're shy of going out because they will have a lot of assumptions, right? Because they must have heard some smell. They're looking for the sauce. When you go out, what does that mean? The imam is... And the next day, somebody might make jokes to you. Tell the imam, please. So what must you do? You put your hand on your nose. So people will think that you're having the bleeding nose, right? That's a very good way out. But whether you can do this or you don't do this, you just have to go out and ask people, ask somebody to lead the prayer. It is haram for you to lead them and you're not imam, and you're not praying. Do you get the idea? It is haram to lead them and you're not praying. So how to make it? Your prayer is gone. You just tell one of them. So I pray. Usually before I start the prayer, I look behind. I see Ahmad, I see Muhammad, I see this and that. You get it? What should I do? I just say, okay, Ibrahim, please lead the prayer. The case is closed. Some people say, no, cannot talk. Actually, the man is not praying, right? Why are you telling him he cannot talk? Some people, they say you have to come slowly, slowly behind and drag him. Yeah, that's why he ran away, actually. Yeah, when I just come behind backward and I try to catch him, you think he will stay? He will run. But if I look at him, I said, please continue with the prayer. You don't need even to tell them, I have to make wudu. They know. This is how to make a replacement. Just look at one of them, the one that you know that he has the best recitation and he has the knowledge more. You tell him, please continue with the prayer. And he continues from the same place wherever he was. Clear. No, from that moment, he is in the sujood and the prayer was gone. From the sujood, just stand up. Stand up and ask somebody to lead. So that person can just continue the sujood because he cannot move in that moment, and then stand up and move forward. Why? Because not raising up the voice, at least you can see the activities. Just do. You don't need to repeat your prayer. As long as you follow him, although maybe you might be a little bit late, it's okay. It's okay. Islam is simple. I'm telling you, wallahi, Islam is simple. That's why sometimes when you see some people praying with the imam, you pity them. Wallahi, you show mercy upon them. But alhamdulillah, they are the minorities among the minority. He come to the masjid, Allahu Akbar, and then he forgot. Shaitan tells him that one of his limbs is not washed properly. Goes out, fix it. Come back, Allahu Akbar, go out again. Come back again. Imam is going to make the last rakah. He's still trying to understand that his wudu is okay. And you have another one which is more than this, actually. Somebody told him that your niyyah has to be in accordance, with the takbiratul ihram, and has to go like that. So he will go, Allah, trying to connect the niyyah with, I don't know how is that, but trying to connect. In the middle, it will cut up. And then he will come down again. And then start to go. Wallahi, sometimes you will be thinking of, can I just stop my prayer and tell him, brother, relax. You see, the imam is going to the last rakah and this guy is trying to catch, to make the connection, doesn't go. Which religion is this? Wallahi, what religion is this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna ad-deena yusrun," and he says, "Iyyakum wal-ghulu." Get the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited exaggeration. When he comes to the masjid, the easiest prayer was that of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah grant us success in following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
This question says, "Is it permissible for men to trim the body hair, for example?"
This is a controversial issue among the scholars, but I will just tell you this. Whenever you have a controversy among the scholars, it's better for you to stay away from that. If it is between wajib and mustahab, just do it. Don't take the mustahab. Even if you don't believe it is wajib, but do it. Because that's the safest way. If you want to be on the safe side, do it. If the controversy is between haram and halal, stay away from it. It's the only way for you to be on the safe side. Because if you do it, there might be a question from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you don't do it, there's not going to be a question, why didn't you do this? I give you this principle, I wish you guys will understand it properly. It is the only thing that can save you in the middle of all of these controversies that we see among the scholars, especially the contemporary scholars. So this is one of them. You see, they said you have a lot of hairs in you, right? there is one hair that you're recommended to take it off. The hair, the pubic hair, right? You take it off, from time to time you remove it. You shave it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. You get it? And also the armpit hair, you also pull it out, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. You get it? You remove it because it will remove the smell. Okay, that's sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hair, this one, you take it off when you go for hajj. Other than that, it's up to you. Either you shave it or, and qaza is impermissible. Qaza is to ask to shave some part and leave the other part. Do we see it nowadays? A lot. And they said it has, justice must be applied. You have to shave them equally. If you go to the barbershop, tell them to shave it equally. Not this one goes here, like shit. You get it? We don't have this. Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned around 8 to 10 types of qaza that they know. In that time also they have different types of styles. He put them all in that hadith. He says this are wrong according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also when you see a person doing that kind of style, what was the first thing that would come into your mind? Allah doesn't want people to have this bad expectation about a Muslim. That's why He wants you to be in a situation, in a condition whereby nobody will look at you and think you are amongst those wrongdoers. That's what Islam wants. That's how much Allah SWT loves you. Do you get it? So they said justice also must be established here. So you have the hair also. During Hajj and Umrah, you're recommended to shave it. And don't show mercy to it. Do you get it? Many people, I'm telling you, they don't like. They found it so difficult to shave. Who cares, ya akhi, this is just hair. And when you shave it, it will come back again, right? Right or wrong? Yeah, I remember one of the Hajj that we went for Hajj with a group of students. I'm telling you, it was very difficult. I had to pay money for many of them to redo. Ustaz, we already paid. They went before us because they know that these elders, they're going to tell us, shave your hair. And these are young children from secondary school. Right. Some of them, what makes it so funny, was the time I will convince one of them, I bring him to the barbershop again to... You get it, to do it. But when he looks at his brother, the way his head looks like when he shaved it, he'll tell me, come on, Ustaz, I can't do that. I'm telling you, no matter how much beautiful is your hair, it will not reach that of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what did he do? He shaved it all. To make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why can't you shave it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grow it again. Khalas, this is a few days, it will come back again. Shave it and get that huge reward. You get it. So shaving is recommended. So you have other hair also, the beard, it is haram for a person to shave it. And there are many scholars, and in fact the four schools also, they said you can't trim it, you just leave it in the way Allah SWT created. Unless if it goes very long to the ground, it's going to make you something. I saw somebody in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, his hair I think is almost the ground. Everyone is looking at him. These are the kind of the people that the scholars said they have to bring in a way people will not look at them. Do you get it? So this one. The other type of hair in the body of humankind, can I shave? Can I trim? You get it? Some scholars said yes, some scholars said no, we shouldn't do it. That's why the best is to stay away from it, even for the sisters. One of our scholars said she should do it. If the husband get annoyed and it's going to affect the marriage, then she shave it for him. Because sometimes some people, they have hair here, they have on the thigh, on the shin, you get it. Can I shave it just like that? So they're talking about the sister's issue, because usually sisters, they don't have hair in the way the brothers they have. Right or wrong? Right. Can she shave it? They say it's better for her to keep it, but there are some scholars who said yes, she can shave it in the way she wishes. Especially when the husband doesn't like it. So to keep the marriage, since there is no text from the Prophet ﷺ that says she has to keep it, she can shave to save the marriage. But how about for the brothers? The same case also, I would say. Leave it. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said something very beautiful. He says, actually, the more hair you have, the more rajul you become. Did you hear that? You know, rajul, man, is a sign of you becoming really, really man. When you see one of them with, mashallah, too much hair, and the other one, nothing. This is how Allah SWT created. Which one is more scary? You get scared of that person. You think that if you fight this one, you can try him. But the other one who doesn't have, who has it a lot, you will think, no, this one I have to be very careful. What makes you think like that? Because of the hair he has. They said the sign of this person is really, really, really man. Allahu alam. But if you ask my advice, I would say stay away from it. Leave it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. You get it? Don't touch it. Unless if it is so much. I mean, somebody has hair on the chest, is just like his hair here. Of course. You cannot tell him, brother, stay like that. Okay, safe. No, not should, she must avoid it. Whatsoever catches the attention of the public to a woman must be avoided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يَخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. They are not allowed to use their to hit the ground with their shoes in order to produce a sound so that somebody would know that this woman is wearing some jewelry and adornment. Not even see her, no. Knows about the adornment. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is wrong, she shouldn't do that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any woman who goes out of her house and she wears the perfume after going out and she passed through male and they smell that perfume, she's just like somebody who's committing zina until she comes back to the house. Abu Huraira met one of the sisters, she was going to the masjid and he smells perfume from her. A'udhu billah, I think Abu Huraira, if he comes to our places, I don't know how is he going to be. Wallahi, I don't know. How is he going to react? He just saw one sister who like that. He told her, sister, where do you think you're going? These are his words. He said, where do you think you're going? She said, I'm going to the masjid. He said, go back. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any woman who wears perfume and comes out like this, she's committing zina until she goes back to the house and take it off. Why was that? This is the protection for them. Wallahi, wallahi. Not following the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning these matters, this is the thing that is putting sisters into trouble in every community. And nowadays, they calculate the sisters who are in trouble sometimes by seconds. They tell you after every single 7 seconds there is a woman who is in trouble. And even the kuffar themselves, imagine even in US, fatwa comes from some medical doctors, you know. During the election of Obama, the previous one, one of those people who was against Obama, he says there is a legitimate rape. So the other party, they jump on him. How can you say that? He said, no, medical doctors say there is a legitimate rape. In Islam, it doesn't exist. But what he says is true of the justification is correct. Because those doctors, he says, they say, usually these things are taking place in the sisters because of the way they dress, the way they portray themselves. Get an idea? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَنَ. Cover yourself, wear the hijab properly because this is the only way you will be protected and you will not be harmed by the community. Do you get what I'm saying? So anything that can catch the attention of the public to a sister, Islamically she's not allowed to go for that. You get it. So all of these things, I will say the same thing. As for driving cars, this one, just leave it, inshallah. I don't give fatwa here. But I will ask, if a sister have a doubt, stay away from it. Get it? If I have a daughter, a wife, she will not do. Because of the controversy of the scholars, and it's so strong, and the justification mentioned by those who don't see it, is so strong. And you ride in horse, it's okay. If she ride in a place where people are not going to watch, it's okay, she can ride. Even the motorcycle, if there is nobody there, she just rode it alone, it's okay. But in public, this is when they talk, and this is when they commented. So I will ask the person to stay away from shubha if he doesn't need it. But if the sister is in a community whereby either she used the public transportation and put herself into trouble, or she drives herself, I will choose the lesser of the two evils because of what we see and what we hear. You get it? Sisters being in trouble with the public transportation, sometimes even with the buses, right? Even with the buses. So if you ask me in these circumstances, then I will go for, yes, it's better for her to have something that she used by herself. But if she's in a place where she doesn't need it, I will tell her to just fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from it. You get it? So this is an issue that people, they make it a big issue, criticize Islam, as if there is nothing left about the case of a woman except driving cars. Well, I found it one of the most significant things to be remembered. We have other issues, right? Big issues. And we skip that, we come and talk about driving cars. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So we have other issues, other matters of hijab, matters of evil attitude penetrating our society. People are going down, losing their religion and faith also in many circumstances, and we're hanging around these issues. What do you benefit from that? So that's my advice. If a sister is in a community whereby there is a strong threat against her attitude and honor, if she uses the public transportation and she has to go to wherever she's going, I would prefer taking the lesser of the two evil, which is to drive, than going and staying with a man, stranger, in the car alone. That's when actually it's illegal. She can't do that. You have to call somebody who is a sister to drive the cab and you go with her. But you cannot go alone. You have to go with somebody else. Because this is khalwa. No doubt about this. May Allah SWT grant us success. And these are simple things. Some people, they will say, no, this Islam is so difficult. Wallahi, it's not difficult. I just ask you this. If we are practicing Islam properly, wallahi, women, they are queens. And I mean my word. When I say woman, she is the queen. You get it? I mean my word. Because she is the only person in the community who can say, I will not do anything and everything should be provided for her. Check Islam and see. Whenever there are two options, one of them is good and the other one is harsh, Islam will tell the brothers to leave the good one for the sisters. You know that? Everything Islam favors them. Actually, if somebody is going to look for his right, brothers, they should take flag and say they are looking for man's right, not woman's right. If we practice Islam properly. That's why some of the sisters who are kuffar, when they hear the benefit that a sister is enjoying in Islam, they cry. Because they cannot attain it at all, unless if they're Muslim. But we have our own sisters, they don't understand this. They understand it as restriction. You know, marriage was cut off just because the brother has to go, when they go to the marketplace with the wife, and then the brother will be the one who will do the bargaining with the shopkeeper. The wife doesn't like that. She wants to do it also herself. Yahi, my family at home, they found it so interesting. When we go to that place, then I'm the one who is going to throw the thing. And their job is just to pick up what they want. I'm just going around. What does that mean? A slave. Ibn al-Qayyim says, that's what is mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim. That man, they are slaves. And that's true. Because you go to the shop with your wife, and then she just pick up and put it in the trolley. And who is pulling the trolley? You. And then you carry the heavy things, whatever she takes, you just keep quiet. You know that your pocket is going to get burned. And then you go to the place, she just do like this. Allah. She just watch. You will keep on fighting with the guy, listening, you know, keep it like that. They found it very interesting that they act like queens. But then you have some other sisters, they found it very annoying that they don't have the freedom also to go and mingle with the men. Take an idea. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success in life and a clear understanding of the deen. Wallahi, whoever leaves the sunnah of the Prophet will suffer a lot. So when the scholars talk about this issue, they are actually focusing on this matter. That if the society is functioning properly, the sister is the only person who doesn't need anything in the society. And somebody has to provide everything for her. May Allah guide us to the truth. Yes.
This question says, in the Nottingham Masjid, there are couches outside. So is this part considered part of the Masjid? And can we sit and not pray in the times of the prayer?
No, I think here we already said, Masjid is here. It's part of the Masjid, but this one, you can come to that place. Even if you, the one who is not in the state of Tahara can come to this place. But here, where you lock it, as everything, this one cannot. This is the Masjid. But there, inshallah, there is no problem.
So, Sheikh, the Masjid is the carpet.
Yeah, there's a carpet area with where you cover it with the glasses. Amin.
The next question says,
but in time, when it comes to buying and selling, I will ask you not to sell anything in this area. Because there is a controversy among the scholars whether a person can do transaction in the rehab. These are the places where you just show to the people that this is also somehow part of the masjid where people pray if the masjid is full. You get it? Now if you come to the masjid, the first line, sometimes it doesn't go out, right? You keep on going to the second line, third line, and you leave outside. They will start coming to the sufuf out of the masjid when this inside is full. That's what is constituted. What constitutes a masjid here inside where you have the glasses. But in terms of selling and having transaction dealing with things, I will ask you also to stay away from that place to avoid controversy, to be on the safe side.
Next question says, how should one respond to salam while praying?
Salam, like this. You are reading and somebody says salam. They say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand like this and the batin al-kaf was up and this one was down. Yeah, so that's, if you translate it, that means like that. So he prays and they say salam. Not.
What if he comes and
shakes it? Oh, shake it. Could be also. But the question is it recommended to say salam to somebody who prays? Many scholars said no. Some scholars said yes, it's recommended also, you can say. But to me, I turn to the one that says you shouldn't, because he distracts you. But if somebody says salam, you shouldn't blame him. And you reply the salam also in that way. Sheikh Nasir al-Albani is upon the opinion that says it's recommended also to say salam to somebody who is praying. Wallahu alam. Qala ghayruhu, other than him, they said no. This is prayer. He's praying. When you say salam, you are going to take his attention.
Okay. The next question says, the best time for supplication in prayer is the sujood. But I am told that you cannot read the supplication from the Quran.
Who says that? If you read Quran as a dua, it's okay. Because you're not reading Quran, you're making dua. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدِّنِيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Any dua in the Quran, when you read it as a dua, in the sujood is okay. Because this one is not Quran, this is dua. If you read it as a Quran, then it's wrong.
The question continues to say, is it better to elongate the last sujood and the last rak'ah, or are all the sujood the same?
Yeah, it should be the same.
The next question says, what is the ruling for a sister to be in a taxi alone in the broad daylight?
Cannot. That's khalwa. She being in the car alone with that person, that's khalwa. She can't.
Lady taxi,
a lady taxi is okay. Because there's no khalwa between sister and sister. Khalwa exists when the brother and the sister are in the same car. Wallah, I'm telling you, it's always wrong. In the one of the best places, I'm telling you, sisters, they will come and tell other sisters that today, only Allah is going to save me from one of the taxi drivers. Yes, that's really it.
The next question says, what if the imam recites Fatiha with wrong makharij? Is the imam's prayer batil?
It depends. If the imam pronounced the makharij correct, if the imam is just new Muslim, it's not that old, just converted to Islam. You ask him to have the tajweed and all of these things, he will leave Islam tomorrow. But if a person who doesn't, is Muslim already, and he recited Fatiha in the wrong way, the prayer is batil. La salatil man lam naqra biha. And the one who does not read Fatiha correctly, he doesn't read Fatiha. And the Prophet ﷺ said, your prayer will not be accepted if Fatiha is not recited correctly. That's why I really urge you to watch over your recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha to make sure that you read it correctly. Because this is the backbone of your prayer.
Sheikh, if we enter the masjid, then we find out that the imam recites wrongly. What should we do?
Teach him. Tajweed class in the prayer. And sometimes this is the cultural practice of those people. This is how they are taught. They are taught to read the Quran. I prayed behind somebody who says, Walallaleen. That's Walallaleen. Walallaleen. His people told him that. I know, yes, some people, this is how they read it. Walallaleen. Somebody wrote Walallaleen. You get it? That's how the culture taught them to do. So this person needs to know. So since this is the extent of his belief, that this is how the prayer should be done, his prayer is okay. If I pray behind him, also it's okay. But after he finishes, I have to teach him, brother, there is no walallaleen in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you get the idea? So it depends on somebody who knows and has the possibility to know, and somebody who is negligent. Do you get the idea? You have somebody who doesn't have opportunity to know. Just negligence made him not going to have the courage to learn the proper recitation. It's therefore people should be avoided from being imam.